the cow looked at me and looked at the calf that I was holding. I put the calf down, and the cow came right over to the calf, grabbed her, and they moved on.
The story of moving a moose cow and two newborn calves off of school grounds, and the Haines Assembly discusses what to do with a vacant seat at the table. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Drowning is still the primary cause of death in recreational boating accidents. Alaska Governor Sean Parnell and the Coast Guard are among those that named this week National Safe Boating Week. Coast Guard statistics show that 90% of boaters who drowned were not wearing their life jackets. Materials for learning more about boating safety can be found at the Coast Guard's website, or you can search Alaska Boating Rules in your browser to find the Alaska Office of Boating Safety, a site from the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation that includes dozens of links to boating laws, weather services, boating education sites and expert centers, and registration information. Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday night with one empty seat at the assembly table. Write-in candidate from the last election, Karen Hess, recently won an appeal in Juneau Superior Court, reversing the Assembly's October vote that certified Greg Goodman as a member. That court decision unseats Goodman as a member of the Assembly. Hess maintained that Goodman did not meet residency requirements in borough code. She is also still vying for the now vacant seat and offered a letter of interest to be appointed to the Assembly. Discussion to fill the vacancy will happen in open session after an executive session covers the legal recommendations from the borough attorney. Borough Clerk Julie Causey says the code is flexible on how the assembly could handle filling the seat. They could call for a special election, ask for letters of interest, or make an appointment. The Haynesboro Assembly meeting is at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 24th at Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. Kids at the Haines School became students of the great outdoors on Friday as some of them gathered by windows and watched on as a moose cow bedded down with two newborn calves just feet from the building.
This is the week when moose calving begins.
Wildlife biologist Anthony Krupe called the sighting right on schedule. Students called the miracle of moose calf birth gross, and administration and law enforcement called it a public safety hazard. Both Haines police and state troopers monitored the situation as it unfolded.
I had actually received a call the night before at about 6 p.m. from the police department advising me that there was a moose with twins near the school. And so at that point, we had decided to go ahead and we knew they were newborn, so we didn't want to stress them out at that point.
Wildlife trooper Rick Merritt is based in Haines. He was one of a group of officials who responded to the situation.
So what we were hoping is if we left them alone for that night, they would go ahead and move on by themselves without us forcing them to. So the next morning, I ended up getting a call about 5:30 in the morning back from the police department, letting me know that the moose with the calves were still located almost right at the entrance of the high school.
The two calves and cow were in between the main entrance of the school and the pool entrance. Trooper Merritt called the scene tricky as he and the Haines police chief and an officer arrived.
Whenever you got two brand new calves and then a cow moose there, she is going to be protective, especially when they're that age. And then we had to contend with, they were right up against the side of the school, so there was no way to really get behind them and try to push them out.
They first attempted to move the moose family into the woods by making noise from the roof of the school.
That wasn't working. So at that point, we tried to use our vehicles to kind of move them and push them, get them up, and walking across the street. You know, at that point, that cow, Mama Moose, was upset. She wasn't happy, and she was standing her ground. And she wasn't moving for the vehicles at all. She was actually bluff charging the vehicle and standing off within inches of the vehicle.
Officers used what they called a last resort and brought in a piece of heavy machinery to encourage the moose to move to a less public place.
We were going to try to use a front end loader and kind of put the bucket up in the air and try to use that to kind of push her, not actually physically push her, but more of just a kind of a visual, you know, to kind of intimidate her and scare her a little bit. And it worked. I've used that tactic in the past with a loader and a bucket, And for some reason, moose do not seem to like a big front-end loader with that bucket up in the air and then, you know, the diesel engine of that loader. They tend to move when you get that around. And we were able to get the loader around the back of kind of the school and kind of come around, and we were able to push her out.
That caused the cow and just one of the calves to move to the area between the high school and the middle school playground area.
That was good news, but the bad news was is the second calf was weaker, and it had actually laid down and didn't want to get up and move, so they had left her behind, or the calf behind. So I ended up having to pick up and carry the calf to that wooded lot where the cow was hanging out at. And once the cow looked at me and looked at the calf that I was holding, I put the calf down, and the cow came right over to the calf, grabbed her, and they moved on.
Merritt watched as the cow licked the moose calf until it followed her and its sibling into the wooded lot between the public safety building, the parts place, and the mountain market.
We don't know if she's still in there or not. You know, what we were hoping is, you know, it's actually a fairly good spot because it's with that tree lot there, and it's a good spot for her to lay down and kind of relax a little bit, and for her to recoup, and, you know, those calves, because it was definitely a stressful situation for them, but I think the overall turned out the best that it could have.
But not all onlookers agreed. The sight of a front-end loader operating next to a wild animal mother with newborns horrified some.
You know, I know a lot of people will look at it, and if they're watching it, they may think it's mean or we're stressing the animal out, you know, but there is really no other way to go about it. I mean, we could use firecracker shells. We could have used rubber bullets. We chose not to, just for the fact that that would have made things worse. What would have happened? I mean, the firecracker shells that we could have used, they're basically a noise-making device. And at that point, she wouldn't have responded any different to that as she did our sirens in our vehicle. And a rubber bullet, what we would have had happen then is she would have probably got more aggressive, stood off with us, or even worst-case scenario, she would have ran off in a panic and left both of those calves there. And then we would have had two calves separated from the cow, and we would have had bigger issues. Our main goal was to try to keep the calves with that cow without getting separated and split up.
Officers say they discussed a gentler approach to the operation, like rerouting buses, and made the decision to make the move happen as soon as possible, saying kids were already showing up.
It wasn't feasible to leave that cow and with those calves right there with school in service all day. There would have been kids, you know, getting way too close, kids watching them. Not just kids, but with it being right next to the road, what was happening is we were just, everybody that drove by that seen it would stop, and everybody wanted to take pictures. So that was going to be an issue in itself.
Anthony Krupe with the State Department of Fish and Game agreed that the calf needed to be reunited with mom, but reminds Alaskans that it is against state law for civilians to handle moose calves or bear cubs.
It's important that the cow and calf, especially right now, their bonding is so important, and it's important for those animals to be together. And so the decision was made to, one of the calves was lethargic and wasn't joining the other pair. And so the decision was made to move it closer to its mom, which ended up working out great.
The moose trio was off school grounds by around 8:30 a.m., and at the time of this news, there have been no reported sightings of the cow or the calves, which some townspeople have named Glacier and Bear.
That was one of the most challenging scenarios where I've been involved in, where we actually had to move wildlife, and she was definitely a good mama moose. She stood her ground, and she was going to protect those guys.
Haines Police Department still advises people to be cautious in the area, keep dogs on leashes, and call any sightings of the moose family or any moose aggression into the police station at 766-2121.
Moose calving season is here. We've started to see moose being dropped in Berners Bay and Gustavus, and it seems like moose calves are coming out in Haines as well.
The Wildlife Division of Fish and Game is actually beginning their moose calving surveys this week around Southeast Alaska.
We have different moose projects where moose are radio collared, and we'll fly to see what they're if they've had their calves yet, and then we can look at survivability of calves through the season.
Krupe says this is the time of year when moose are becoming more aggressive and defensive. He points out proper behavior around moose is similar to what you would do if you encounter a bear. Make noise and keep distance from the animal.
Where the clean water flows.
As an end of the year project, some Skagway second and third graders wrote a song. 11 students were part of the project. Courtney Fannenstein, known to her students as Miss Fun, says it started with lyric writing when all the kids listed what they like about Skagway.
The otters and the fish swim among the rocks where the
Then they talked about Skagway's history and the gold rush.
Up through the Lynn Canal, steamships brought hopes and dreams.
Student Dawson Clem was the brains behind the melody, which he worked on with music teacher Jonathan Baldwin. The kids used GarageBand to record and edit their tune as a podcast, a program they learned about in school this year.
Nature's paradise, a place for me and you.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.